All right. We're in Heavenly Places, page 141. It's titled The Highest Culture, May 14th. And it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3:13. You know, I was a kid, and I read that, and I thought that was great. You know? I says, yeah, that's happy, you know. And I never liked going to school. I didn't like being educated by teachers and stuff. I never liked that because I knew I could read and I could learn on my own. Because, you know, like I've said so many times before, I used to read encyclopedias. And when I used to go to school, I'm sitting there going, well, yeah, doesn't anybody know that? I mean, I always thought, you know, all the stuff they were talking about was already in those books I read before. And so I really didn't like school. It really bored me, you know, except for when I was really, really young, you know, like with the basics, like learning how to read, and then, of course, you know, the mathematic thing, which I do believe somewhere in Ellen White's writings, and they just found this out recently, but they won't admit this, you know. But the human mind, the brain, isn't done developing by the time they start trying to pump mathematics into children's heads, and they simply can't get it. They can't grasp it. And then later on, when their brains can grasp it, and they're going to, like, say, high school or something like that, because that's about the time that you can grasp it, they don't even try because they figure, oh, I couldn't handle this when I was a kid. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it now. Because that's how I thought. And even when I started getting into computer programming, I had some issues with it. You know, I never messed with the logarithms, you know, like, you know, the big calculations and stuff like that, because I would mostly cheat. I would get them out of magazines and stuff, you know. And so most of the software I made was always clerical kind of stuff, database stuff, and very few games. I didn't make many games because I never really liked playing games. But I always thought that was neat when I saw that in the Bible, happy is the man that getteth understanding. Because that made sense to me because of where I was reading it, first of all. If you can get an understanding of what's written in this book, yeah, you're going to be happy, no matter how crazy it gets out there. And I was just thinking about that today, too, earlier, when I saw somebody sent me a link. And I think I just happened to run across this. It's a it's a video, I think it's about 15 minutes long on YouTube. It's showing how the Muslims are literally taking over the United States of America. And they've got videos of these Muslims talking, I don't know, 10 years ago and showing how much they hate America. And then now they're talking, and you could tell they're hiding their feelings and stuff like that. But they're now they're working in the government, our government. They work. They have been hired by our government to work, to do things for us. And so they're literally taking it over. And some people would get all scared, thinking Sharia law, get your head lopped up and all, you know, because the Bible's pretty clear about, you know, getting your heads cut off and stuff like that. But I'm thinking, yeah, well, that's only, they're only going to be able to have that ability, that power, when the, you know, when that time comes, for one thing, and if I'm disobedient in any way, because then I won't be able to be part of the Gideon band where I won't have to worry about getting my head cut off. And even if I'm obedient to the best of my ability, but I just can't get it, and I have to take a nap beforehand, and I have to get my head cut off, still, it's like whoop-de-doo, no big deal. You know, that's really not frightening to me. And, you know, because, like, even from when I was a kid, I used to get beat up, you know. And I was thinking about that, too, the other day. It wasn't really that much of a... I think the beatings weren't as frequent as the fear was. You know, you get beat up a few times, and every time you turn a corner, you see the guy that beat you up last week, or that guy that wants to beat you up, you start thinking, you know, every 5 minutes you're thinking about getting beat up. And so that was more in my mind than the actual fists on face. So, but this getting understanding thing, because I remember when I was a young Christian, I was thinking about these things, and some of it was fearful thoughts. But then, you know, now that I've been with the Lord for decades, I look at it and I'm thinking, these guys, they don't seem to realize. Yeah, they might put off a personification like they're tough, and they have this power and this ability. I says, yeah, well, I saw Goliath fall flat on his face, you know, with a little pebble to the head. And so I don't care how muscular these guys are. I don't care how powerful they are in politics or anything. I don't even care if it's Satan himself standing on the planet, which he's going to be doing soon, of course. It does not matter. Our God blows their doors off. There's nothing they can do without his permission or his approval. And so I'm sitting there going, yeah, you guys, you know, if you start coming in my direction, you better be ready to die, and it's not going to be by my hand either. I've seen people die already that wanted me dead. And so I love that getting understanding thing, because when you get an understanding of the scriptures, you know no plague will come nigh thy dwelling. And you know that when you go through the, you know, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not going to fear any evil, because thou art with me. And she goes on to say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the man who consents to be molded and fashioned after the divine similitude is the noblest specimen of the work of God. The experimental knowledge of true godliness and daily consecration and service to God ensures the highest culture of the mind, soul, and body. The impartation of divine honors, of divine power, honors our sincere striving after wisdom for the conscientious use of our highest faculties to honor God and bless our fellow men. As these faculties are derived from God and not self-created, and that's another thing too. I don't care if you're drop-dead gorgeous or the most intelligent man or woman on the planet. They're derived from God. He sets up everything. You know, you wouldn't have gotten that knowledge had he not put you on a specific path. And you certainly would not have had that beauty had he not formed you the way he did. And so none of this, it's like Solomon says, all is vanity. And so all these faculties are derived from God and not self-created. They should be appreciated as talents from God to be employed in his service. And amen to that, you know. And the thing I like about that is if you got one, even if you only got one talent, you use it to the best of your ability to glorify the Lord, you're going to end up with a lot more than just one talent, you know. So going on, it says, the heaven-entrusted faculties of the mind are to be treated as the higher powers to rule the kingdom of the body. The natural appetites and passions are to be brought under the control of the conscience and the spiritual affections. And this is one of the reasons I pray I would have such an ability or a faith, if you will. Hold on. Ooh, he got away from me. But anyway, like when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, or Moses on the side of the mountain. Either way, to be able to deny the appetites and the passions, and to be brought completely under the control of the Lord, you know, like that, you're not going to have any problem whatsoever when it comes to getting on your knees or knowing what direction he would have you go in. You know, it would be an amazing faith, you know, an amazing new life. It's like everything's brand new. It's like first coming into your own when you were 6 or 7 years. And I'm not saying your own, actually. That's way too young. You're going to first come into your own like when you're about 20, 25, 30. But when you're first coming into sentient, understand, like sentient, in other words, you can understand, like, I mean, a full-grown cat or a full-grown dog can stand in front of a mirror and get angry thinking it's an animal attacking. They don't know that's them. And humans are the same way until they get to about the size of 4 or 5 years old. Then they start to realize, hey, that's me. So that's a gift from on high, of course. And but that's, once we get to that point, it's like when you first find Christ, it's the same thing. It's like really, truly being born again. Because I remember that day like it was yesterday when I met Jesus. Yeah, for the first time, literally felt his presence. I was all by myself. It wasn't no, you know, strange Pentecostal wannabe demon-inspired falderall. It was just me contemplating what happened the night before, you know, as I was sleeping. And asking him questions in regards to it, and boom, did I get an answer. And literally aged me out of 40 years, well, aged me out of 29 years of growth. Because I died that day. It was a complete change. And it was like being a little kid again, having the new, I mean, I opened up my eyes and everything was like, first I actually literally, this was the only thing I felt in a physical sense was a weight being lifted off of me. Because for years I was trying to quit and clean up my act, you know, quit all the same. And so that was obvious, but the way everything looked, I mean, the room, I was in this one room and it was the same as it was 5 minutes before. Now everything looked so much like had purpose in life, you know, and it was amazing. And so I could see the same thing happening with the Gideon band. When that day comes, when that letter rain falls upon them, they'll have a clearer and better and crisper understanding of that which is written. You know, we're still going to be looking through the glass darkly. I mean, that's a no-brainer. We're going to be doing that until that eastern sky splits. But he's going to give us some inside information that we're definitely going to need. And I can't wait. I can't wait to get, I want an overwhelming portion, you know, like Elijah asked, Elijah. I want a double portion. And that's just like what the Bible says about Solomon. It says no man ever had that kind of wisdom before or after him. I says, yeah, Father, I understand that. No one's ever had the wisdom that Solomon had. before him or after him. But does it say in the Bible that we can't have more than him? I mean, he had a certain plateau of wisdom. No one ever had it before or after him. So I don't want the same wisdom as Solomon. I want more. You know, so is it possible? I mean, is you know, because I saw what happened with Elijah. You know, I saw the mantle fall. And so he wanted that double portion, and he got it. Anyway, she goes on to say, the religion of Jesus Christ never degrades the receiver. It never makes him coarse or rough, discourteous or self-important, passionate or hard-hearted. Let me reread that, because I need to hear this one too. It says, the religion of Jesus Christ never degrades the receiver. It never makes him coarse or rough, discourteous or self-important, passionate or hard-hearted. And, you know, and a lot of us have to, a lot of, you know, I especially have a lot of work that I need done in those areas, and I praise God for the way he's been chipping away at that dross on me, because, you know, I used to be, and I know I've changed, and I've seen his hand change me, and I know my loved ones have admitted that they've seen it, and this is what really confuses me, too, even my siblings, you know. They knew what I was like before I met Christ, and they knew what I was like after I met Christ. And still, I would get angry every now and then after I met Christ, but nowhere near like I used to. You know, I would not explode. I wouldn't walk through walls. I wouldn't, you know. And so, but still, little things, you know, because I know about the power of the tongue and how it's like a, oh, it's worse than a fist sometimes, you know. And so I praise the Lord for him bridling the tongue. And she says, on the contrary, when she, you know, after stating all this stuff about being coarse and rough, she says, on the contrary, it refines the taste, sanctifies the judgment, purifies and ennobles the thoughts by bringing them into captivity to Jesus Christ. God's ideal for his children is higher than the highest human thought can reach. The living God has given in his holy law a transcript of his character. The greatest teacher the world has ever known is Jesus Christ. And what is the standard he has given for all who believe in him to reach? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect, Matthew 5:48. But every preacher that I've ever, even the Baptists, because when I left the Catholic Church, that's one of the first churches I used to attend. I would still hop, go to different churches, but I would always look for Baptist churches. The only theology I didn't agree with them with is they said they had a Romans road, which they always avoided Catholicism in every way, shape, or form, and it wasn't until after I started keeping Sabbath that I started to realize that they were way off course on that. But I also saw them doing the Christmas thing and the wedding rings and everything else and the steeples and the stained glass. I mean, yeah, as a matter of fact, they had the stained glass in abundance. they always said that you can't be perfect. He says, no man's perfect. The pastor always said, I mean, you'd hear that. They used to repeat that a lot. I'm not perfect. Jesus is the only one that's perfect. You know, this is, you know, did he lie? And I'm not saying we could be perfect. We know that. We cannot be perfect on our own. This is something that it is Christ our righteousness. We understand, especially, we even understand the message of 1844, or 1884. Yeah, 1884, right? Or no, 1888, yeah. 1888, the message about Christ our righteousness. So anyway, she goes on. She says, as God is perfect in his high sphere of action, so man may be perfect in his human sphere. The ideal of Christian character is Christ-likeness. There is opened before us a path of continual advancement. And that's what I love, too, is the fact that, and the long-suffering of our Father. Because I do see myself getting better, and I'm sure some of you see yourselves getting better, too. But I'm not pleased with it. I still, if he were to come now, would scream out, wait, I'm undone, you know. And because I still feel I need to improve here, there, everywhere, you know. But I praise the Lord for the overwhelming evidence that he has not given up on me. Because when I do stupid things or say stupid stuff, the Holy Spirit is so overwhelmingly still present with the grieving thing. I mean, it's just like, oh, man. I mean, you know, and I praise his name for that, because it humbles you. It makes you realize you're not all that in a bag of chips like you thought. Because there's a lot of people out there that do have that very, like Fran, for example, you know, she's, you know, not here right now. So I'm not going to, I don't think she'd mind if I share this, but she's got a very, very, very gentle spirit. And I learned so much from her, you know. And then the other toss of the coin is I've known others with that same, you know, the exact same very gentle, loving spirit. But the first chance they get, they stick you in the back with a dagger and they twist it. and they'll have a very gentle, loving smile on their face while they're doing it. I mean, every pope is that. Well, Ratzinger is kind of the exception to the rule because that guy looked mean when he was smiling. But anyway, most of them, they all had that, the wolves in sheep's clothing thing. You got to do it that way. It always reminds me of that guy, the Crystal Palace guy. What was it? Robert Shore. He's the one that agreed with Billy Graham, along with the Pope, that you don't need Jesus Christ to gain heaven. And then, boom, that guy loses his church. And now the Catholic Church owns that big Crystal Cathedral now. But anyway, Robert Shore was like that. He was very gentle and loving, like Mr. Rogers, kind of like that. And Mr. Rogers was a Mason. Or like Pope Francis. And that's obvious. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day on the street about this, and he was telling me how this one woman I knew from the old neighborhood says she, even though she's not Catholic and she can't stand the Catholic Church, she knows about it being the Antichrist, but I like this Pope. That's what she said. And everybody likes him. And that's their plan. He's got to get out there and he's got to be nice to everybody because the world is ready for that. The world is ready to hear that it's okay to be homosexual. It's okay to molest little children. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay, whatever. You know, and it's like Joe Osteen. I put his video on the site today. You know, he's out there saying, he's saying it's okay to be homosexual as well, right? And he said God approves. He doesn't say that God accepts them, as long as they repent. He just said God approves of their lifestyle. And then around 2 minutes and 49 seconds into it, he said something to the effect that when people preach like what we do, he doesn't say the loving manner thing. He only says that I don't preach hate and I don't push people or shove people down or push them down. In other words, when Christians go out there and share scriptures with homosexuals, no matter how loving they do it, the homosexuals are going to get very angry and say they're sharing hate and pushing me down. And then Osteen says, don't do that. But the Bible says to do that. And we're not saying hate. No, they're saying it's hatred. I mean, Jesus walks up to them. And that's why I had to say it first. Jesus would not call that hatred. Jesus would call that warning them of danger. And he did do that in a very loving manner, and they still hung him on a cross. And they can't say he didn't do it in a loving manner, because even the false teachers out there will admit that Jesus was the most kind and loving man ever lived. And yet they still hung him on a cross. And so they could twist the reality all they want. When that eastern sky splits, all that self-deception is going to wipe away, and guys like Osteen's are going to have the biggest amount of wailing and gnashing of teeth out of all of them, because these guys are bringing them in by the thousands, into hell, of course, but they're bringing in the sheaves and burning them right in front of them. So finishing up, she says, we have an object to reach, a standard to gain, which includes everything good and pure and noble and elevated. There should be a continual striving and constant progress onward and upward toward perfection of character. So amen and amen. And if you can't get to that, well, then you need to take stock in yourself. I like to do that every now and then. I like to say, where do I need help? The Lord reminds me of doing that a lot. But if you ever give up in a certain area, says, "Oh, I just can't. I can't do this. I'm just going to smoke until I die," or I just can't give up my hamburgers, or I can't give up my beer, or my porn, or my whatever, If you give up anywhere in any of these areas where you know it's sinful, you are a worker of iniquity. In other words, you are one that commits sin. You commit known sin. That's what iniquity is. It's not just a sinner. It's a person that knows what they're doing is wrong and they're choosing to do it anyway. And those people will not be in heaven, period. That's not a good place, not a good place to be. But here, like she's saying here, that you should be a continual striving, constant progress onward, even if it's baby steps. Because I know for years with my anger issues back in the years ago, I took some very tiny little steps. And a lot of times I would jump backwards, and then I have to start all over again. But it's always those little tiny steps and stuff. I used to do that a lot. But it was a constant progress forward, as stupid and weak as I was doing it. So, and I praise his name because that long suffering. And I learned a lot from that as well, too. If he was so long-suffering with me, I could be the same way for others, because I know, the people that are around me and stuff like that, whether it's dealing with Bill, talking to the phone company or something or whatever, I have to treat them in a loving way just as much as I would want them to treat me or anybody else for that matter. So anyway, hope pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.